Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're starting a brand new sermon series. We're back in the book of Matthew. The last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on bearing good fruit. And we're talking about bearing good fruit really this whole year. That's our theme for Hope City this year. What kind of fruit is coming out of your lives? Okay? And we're back in the book of Matthew. And up to this point, we've covered the birth of Jesus, his childhood, the baptism of Jesus, Jesus being tested in the wilderness for 40 days, the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. The first sermon that he did was the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount can be found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, 7. If you missed it and you want to go back on our website, we have every sermon listed. You can go back and listen on these sermon series that we've talked about. In chapter 8, we see Jesus doing incredible miracles of healing, calming the storm, the Sea of Galilee, setting the demon-possessed man free in the Gadarenes. The one thing that is true about Jesus is everywhere Jesus went, miracles happened. Everywhere Jesus went, people were healed. That's why even today we can be in the presence of Jesus and he changes everything. When we're in God's presence, he changes everything. Jesus went, everywhere he went, people's lives were transformed. One of the key points to pull from the book of Matthew is also the fact that Jesus never did this alone. All throughout, he began to call his disciples. He'd look at somebody and say, hey, you, follow me. He would call people. He never did this alone. This wasn't just about him. He did life with people. He was with people. He was pouring into people. He was healing people. He was raising up his disciples. It would have been an incredible moment to be right at his feet to watch all of this play out. Could you imagine being one of the disciples of Jesus? Seeing all of these stories play out, everything we read about. Throughout our study of Matthew, we see Jesus building that team and surrounding himself with disciples. This group of men would become the closest friends that Jesus had and his partners in ministry. It would have been amazing to watch what Jesus did. They did this. They had this opportunity because they were willing to leave everything and follow him. There's one word that we see every one of these disciples saying. You know what that word was? Yes. The power of yes. Yes. Jesus, you call me, I'll go. The power of yes. Today, one of the most powerful words that you and I can say is yes to Jesus. And I want you to know, whatever you're saying no to is going to affect what you can say yes to. Whatever you say yes to affects what you say no to. It's a life-changing perspective. I'm fascinated that God chooses to accomplish his will and his plans through us, despite our humanity. Some of us look at our lives, we're like, man, I'm a huge mess. I've got good news for you. Jesus uses people who are huge messes. In fact, that's where he does some of his finest work, is the people that are a mess. He uses us despite our humanity. In fact, God does not do things apart from you and I. We are his hands and feet. And so when we read about God's purposes and his plans for our world, what he's saying is, here's my plan, now you go carry it out. We get to join with Jesus to carry this incredible mission out. And I don't know about you, but one of the most incredible things that just really makes my heart sing is when people find freedom, when people find Jesus. And the fact that Jesus uses me to be his mouthpiece and to share his goodness with those people blows me away. Even in spite of my humanity, he never works outside of his people. And I'm so thankful for it. To be used by God and see him do incredible and powerful things in my life is really one of the most greatest joys there is. Because we're not living for ourselves at that point, we're living for others. I'm grateful that we get to celebrate with God as his purposes are accomplished on this earth. People's lives are transformed and changed, but it only happens when we are willing to say yes to Jesus. When we say, whatever it is, Jesus, you call me to do, I'm willing to do it. I wonder how many opportunities have been lost because God has a plan to work through someone's life, but they ignored God's calling and they said no. They said no, somebody else will do it. What if there is nobody else to do it? Lillian Thrasher, who was a missionary over to Egypt and reached thousands of people, once said, I told God, if there's anybody else that you can get to use, use them. And God said, you're the one I'm calling. There is no one else. There is no one else. And she went and she gave up her life to be able to minister to these people. If we are truly God's hands and feet in this world, what happens when the hands and feet don't accept the role that Jesus has given them? What happens when we say no to God? What about sharing the gospel? There are people in your life that only you can share the gospel with. I don't have access into your circle. And you know what? Some of them, you might have shared other stuff with them in the past, and now it's your responsibility to say, now I'm going to give you the real hope. Now I'm going to get you addicted to the real thing, and his name is Jesus. We've been called to be the people that share the gospel. If you are praying that somebody is saved in your life, my question is, have you invited them to come? Have you shared the gospel? If you pray, you better be willing to speak out and share what God has called you to do. Some people let themselves off the hook by thinking that God can use someone else to accomplish what he was calling them to do. Again, what if there is no one else? What if there is no plan B? What if Jesus is saying, if you will step up to the plate, I'll win your whole family to me. I'll bring your whole family to Jesus. What if Jesus is saying, if you'll step up to the plate, I'm going to work in their hearts and we're going to bring every one of your loved ones to me. What if Jesus would have said, God, you know what? I'm just not into this getting on the cross thing. He could have said no. You realize that, right? Jesus could have said no. Where would we have all been? Because I don't think God had a plan B. I think he expected Jesus to say yes. Jesus modeled and what it looked like. He modeled what it looked like to say yes to God. You might be sitting here thinking, well, of course Jesus would always say yes. He was Jesus. Remember, though, he was 100% God and 100% man, which meant he had the same limitations that you and I have. He had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to get away from people that drove him nuts. All right? He had the same limitations. So don't say that. Don't use your limitations and say, well, of course Jesus could do it. He was God. No, he was 100% God and 100% man. He did not sin, but he showed us what it looked like to do the will of God with human limitations. And you know what the answer to that was? The answer was that Jesus did nothing apart from his Father, right? So Jesus was human, but he was connected to God in a way that literally transformed. Because all Jesus had to say was yes, and then God empowered him to do what he was calling him to do. It's such an incredible example for us. Jesus had to eat like we do. He had a busy schedule. Oh, sorry, God, I really can't fit the cross in. I'm really busy today. My day planner is totally full. Could you imagine? The excuses we use to say no to God, what if Jesus used you know what? There's a brand new series on Netflix that I really need to binge for 8 hours a day. I don't have time. My schedule's too busy. I just went to Netflix. Yes, I did. Jesus experienced what it meant to be human and to accomplish God's plans and purposes. The Bible does tell us that when he was getting up on the cross, Jesus asked the Lord, he said this, Matthew 26:39, and that's a little bit ahead in Matthew, but this is what Jesus said to God when he was praying in the garden. He said this, he went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. My question to you is, what are you saying to God? God, is it your will over my will? Lord, I'm willing to give my will over your will. I'm willing to sacrifice for what you've called me to do. You might go, well, man, how do I know God's called me? Because I know everyone in this room God has called. Everyone in this room, God's given an assignment if you'll just say yes to. If you'll listen, well, pastor, I'm not a pastor. Okay, all of us can be pastors. All of us can be ministering to the people in our circle. All of us have been called. All of us have a plan. All of us have a purpose. And again, there was no plan B that God had another option. Jesus' yes changed eternity. I want to tell you, your yes could change eternity. Your yes could change somebody's eternity if you'll just say yes to him. Our scripture today, as we get into Matthew, is another example of someone saying yes to following Jesus. As we read this, I want you to really think about what Jesus was asking. It was huge. It was simple. It was a life-changing question. And the same question, it's the same question Jesus is asking all of us today. I want to read it. Matthew 9:9 says this. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Jesus looked at him, and this is me adding that, so I'm not going to add that. Let me read it again. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. I want to show you a video from The Chosen, which is really one of my favorite stories of how this might have played out. Let's roll it, guys.
Mother of a son with talent like yours should be proud.
She's ashamed that I could use the talent that God gave me against God. Next.
You're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. It's that simple.
Must be nice to live in a world so simply ordered.
We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
The power of yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
If you want to watch the rest of it, you can Google it. We're on a time crunch. The power of yes. Matthew responded immediately. The Bible says that Matthew got up and followed me. Got up and followed him. And that's the title of our message today. Get up and follow me. Get up and go. Get up. It's time. Jesus is calling you. Matthew, will you follow me and be my disciple is what Jesus was asking. I think if Matthew would have hesitated or said, oh, let me think about it, or let me check my schedule, or let me see what I've got going, I don't want to give up my job to follow you. I think Jesus would have kept on moving. Matthew would have missed out. And I always say it's so true. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God calls you and he speaks to you and he puts something on your heart, the answer has to be yes. Imagine if Matthew would have said no. Matthew is the author of the book that we're reading right now. Matthew is the author of Matthew. Shocking, right? Surprise. He's got some good Bible teaching. Matthew said yes to Jesus and it changed history. What is your yes that Jesus is asking for? It definitely has the possibility of changing people's lives. In my life, I've decided the answer is always going to be yes. In my life, when God calls, the answer is going to be yes. It doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter how I look at my life and think I don't measure up or I don't have the gifts and I don't have the talents. My answer is yes, because that's all that matters. I want to share with you three truths really quick here. First of all, truth number one, Matthew's past did not stop Jesus. Your past is not figured in to Jesus asking you to do something because it's been wiped away. Your past does not dictate your future. Some of you are sitting going, how could I ever do anything for Jesus? Jesus knew what I did last night or even last week. All of that is wiped away. Do not let the enemy convince you that your past is going to keep you stuck in your future. Here are some things to know about Matthew. He was a tax collector, which meant he had a past. The Jewish people rightly thought of them as traitors. That's why the disciples responded to Jesus like, you are asking a tax collector? I mean, come on, let's be honest. We all hate the IRS. We know. Ugh. That's a whole nother sermon. All right. The Jewish people saw them as traitors because they worked for the Roman government. The Roman government was oppressive, and they stole people's money. They had the force of the Roman soldiers behind them to make people pay their taxes. So here you've got a Jewish man who was doing the work of the Roman government that was against his own people. The Jewish people considered the tax collectors extortioners. Amen. IRS. Yes. Amen. All right. They were allowed to keep whatever they over-collected. A tax collector bid among others for the tax collecting contract. So what we see happen here is Matthew turned his back on all of that and said, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. All of his money, all of everything that Jesus, that he could possibly do. For example, many tax collectors might want to have the tax contract for a city like Capernaum. The Romans awarded the contract to the highest bidder. The man collected taxes, paid the Romans what he promised, and kept the remainder. There was a lot of incentive for tax collectors to overcharge and cheat people. Charles Spurgeon, which was a great theologian, said this. He was at this time busy taking, but he was called to a work that was going to be essentially giving. It was a complete change. When a Jew entered the customs service, he was regarded as an outcast. So what you're seeing is an outcast in Jewish minds, and Jesus said, come and follow me. Here's what I love about Jesus. He does not look at your past. If you feel disqualified from God using you because of your past, all you have to say is yes, and God can change it around. The answer is always yes. It can't be, how could God use somebody like me? Maybe you look at your past and you don't ever feel like you measure up. I want to tell you, in God's kingdom, he's what makes you measure up. Some of you go, how could I ever do this? How could I don't measure up. I've been told that I'm a failure. What if I fail if I say yes? With the power of the Holy Spirit, I promise you, you're never going to fail. The only way you fail is if you say no. Step out. Every disciple that you look at and you read about in Scripture had a past. He called the most unlikely people. And if you think about it, those disciples were probably 20, 21, 22. They were a squirrely bunch of guys. But that's who Jesus called. He didn't call the religious folks. I saw something on my Facebook today that said, that's what makes religious folks so crazy is when God uses the unqualified. Jesus sees what you can be, not what you are. If Jesus calls you to do something, stop telling him no because you feel like you're not worthy. That's completely the enemy trying to keep you on the sidelines. And you just say yes and you start walking and God's going to turn it all around. The potential, the more potential you have, the more the enemy tries to keep you on the sidelines. The more, I want to say it, the more potential you have for the kingdom, the enemy's going to try to keep you on the sidelines. Your answer to break that is say, yes. You're not going to fail. Don't let fear hold you back. We sang that off of you today. Listen to God's voice and his calling, and then obediently follow him where he wants you to go. Some people say, well, I don't hear God's voice. Is it because you've told him no too many times? And he stops asking. And the minute you say yes, all of a sudden God comes along and goes, okay, we can work with this. Point number two, Matthew decided to get up and follow Jesus, which is huge because if he would have stayed, it meant he was stuck. Some of us, God is saying, get up from where you're at and follow me. Walk out of where you're at and follow me. Stop living where you've always been and walk out and follow me. Following Jesus is going to require you to step out of your comfort zone. Oh, I just lost some of you right there. I've got my pretty little box that I just stay in, and it's my comfort zone. Your comfort zone is never going to take you to where God has you. He is going to push you out of your comfort zone, I promise you. Matthew had to get up and leave his old life behind. He had to get up. Some of you need to get up and walk out of your old life. He actually had to get up and leave his job that he'd worked so hard for and negotiated his soul away for. My guess is if you were able to sit down with Matthew, he was a miserable person because he always had said no. And this was the time God was saying, get up, I'm pulling you out. Get up from where you've always been and get moving. There are a lot of people who are good with following Jesus until they realize they have to leave their old life behind. When you give your life to Jesus, it's not saying, okay, Jesus, I'm giving you my life. Now I'm going back to my old life. What he's saying is get up and walk out of that old life. Stop going to the places you've always gone to. Stop being with the friends that you've always been with. Whatever is holding you back, Jesus is calling you out of right now. Jesus may require you to change who you do life with. You may have to find new friends. You can't have a foot in both worlds, because if you go backwards, it's literally pulling you backwards spiritually. God is calling you to get up and move forward. You all with me? When you decide to surrender your heart to Jesus, you have got to walk away from your old life. What you do Monday through Saturday has to change. When you say yes to Jesus, don't let fear hold you to go, cause you to go back. Some of us, you know, we always laugh when we read the scripture that says it's like a dog going back to his own vomit. Have you read that scripture in the Bible? But that's like us going back to our past and the stuff that have hurt us and the stuff that has kept us stuck. We keep going back. Don't let the enemy convince you that going back to your old life would be easier than moving forward with Jesus. Get up and get moving. I promise you this. What you have in your old life will pale in comparison to what Jesus has for you in your new life. Point number three. Point number one was, don't let your past hold you back. Number two, get up and get moving. Point number three, Matthew left everything behind. Matthew not only got up and followed Jesus, he left everything behind. He didn't try to bring mindsets with him. He didn't try to bring his bank account with him. He literally walked out of all of that. He didn't try to bring anything into his new life. It would have been easy for Matthew to say, okay, wait a minute. Like, I need to get my plan all put together. Like, all the planners in the room, you're like, I would say yes to Jesus when I have everything together. You're never going to have everything together. I would say yes to Jesus when my life is perfect, because then he could use me. No, no way. None of us are going to be perfect. I would say yes to Jesus, but put the buts away. He could have said, well, I need to fill up a bag of money before I go, because I mean, I have to be ready for a rainy day. We hold on to the things in our life with the same mentality. When we try to bring things along with us, when Jesus calls us to leave it all and follow him, that's what you're going to get. We have to get up, we have to leave our surroundings and leave everything behind and move forward. You're like, Pastor, that's pretty radical. I promise you, though, it's going to bring you freedom. Stop trying to have a foot in both worlds. It'll bring you freedom. Many of us, we want the full plan laid out with contingencies before we're going to say yes. And Jesus doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. He requires you to step out in faith and trust him and leave everything behind. Jesus today has the same call for us. Step out and leave everything behind. And I'm sure Matthew was probably scared. There were a lot of what ifs and a lot of unknowns. But all of a sudden, he bought into that plan. The only plan was to follow Jesus. That's still the plan for all of us today. God's not going to lay out his plan and give you step by step. All he's going to say is, you take the first step and I'll meet you. You take the first step and I'll promise that I'll be there to walk you out through the rest of the way. But he requires you to take the first step with the power of yes. Matthew was able to step away from it. And here's what I love about this. I don't think God expects us to do it on our own, right? I think the Holy Spirit comes along. One of the things that as I watch that clip that I see in Jesus' eye is his love. Jesus loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you where you're at. Do you see that when you watch that picture? That love is what brought Matthew out of where he was. When you understand how much Jesus loves you, it's a complete game changer and it changes your life. So we're not only called to get up, but then we're called to follow Jesus. And today, I want to challenge you, what do you need to say yes to? What is God calling you to do? It might be a new ministry. You might be sitting here with talent to be on this worship team, and God's been calling you to be up here, and you keep fighting him. Your answer needs to be yes. You might be, I don't know, whatever God's calling you to do. I couldn't think of it, because I don't want to put anything in your mind. But God's calling you to do something right now. And my challenge to you is say yes. Whatever God calls you to do, stop being afraid. Stop looking at yourself how you've always been told. Maybe you've always been told you don't measure up and you're not going to accomplish anything in life. That is not true with Jesus. It's a complete lie from the enemy. What you have, the talents you have, what God's poured into your life, all you have to do is say yes and then follow him.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.